Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic per week for an average of 33.2 minutes.
Welcome to 20% Time.
Hello.
Daniel, it's been a week since we last recorded.
It's been 6 months since it's been a week since we last recorded.
We are on fire right now.
We're killing it.
Yep.
Yep. Good.
So I listened to Planet Money, NPR podcast, and they... Uh-huh. They do this thing, which they stole from another podcast I don't remember right now. They play underrated, overrated. They have people on and they say, they state a thing. And it's generally like, I don't know, they'll say like one of the last ones I heard is like CEOs, underrated, overrated. And then, and this person's a CEO and then he says either underrated, overrated, you know, Bitcoin, underrated, overrated. Adequately rated, underrated, you know, and then they kind of go into a little bit of why. And it's cool, and it's rapid fire, and it's fun, and it's like a nice way to approach a topic, I guess. I don't know. So, anyway, I figured we'd try it.
Okay. Underrated, overrated. Let's do some easy ones.
Email. Underrated, overrated.
So this is the thing. I don't think it's actually well rated. I think it's bad, but I think it's generally agreed that it's bad. So I would say adequately rated.
Yeah, I would say adequately rated as well. Yep.
Yeah, but it is terrible. It's weird to say that like something that's terrible isn't overrated. It's terrible, but not overrated.
Right, it's definitely not overrated. And I don't think it's underrated. I think it's right where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Telegram, underrated, overrated?
Underrated.
Underrated?
Yeah.
Why is it underrated?
Well, it was responsible for creating a system of wires around the country.
Okay, we're talking that telegram. Isn't that telegraph? Telephone?
You send a telegram over the telegraph,
right.
I think.
Okay.
You mean telegram, the messaging app?
No. I meant that, and that's the perfect answer. Yep. Way underrated. Telegraphs are way underrated.
Yep. Yeah, beep, bleep, beep, 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 bleep, beep, beep, bleep, beep. Visual Studio Code, underrated, overrated?
I say overrated.
Yeah, I know you were gonna say that. I've seen your tweets.
I'm feeling like it's overrated.
You're having a hard time.
At this point.
You're having a hard time, aren't you?
I'm having a hard time. This Vim mode is killing me.
Yeah, well, first of all, that's your fault. Because you wanted to use Vim mode without using Vim.
Right. But Sublime's Vim mode is great.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Enough.
It's beautiful.
I don't do the Vim mode stuff. But no, I have problems with it as well. You know what my primary problem with Visual Studio Code is?
What's that?
When I press like Command P and like open a new file,
yep.
It seems completely unpredictable whether it's going to open in the current tab or a new tab.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, and so like if I have something open and then I want to open something else in a new tab.
Oh, I know what this is. Wait.
What is it?
Wait. Okay. Say what you're going to say. Say, restate the question. I think I misinterpreted the question.
Okay. Let's say I have like my web.php routes file open.
Uh-huh.
And I want to open my api.php routes file in a new tab.
Uh-huh.
So I've got two tabs open. One is web.php, one's api.php.
Right.
If I am in web.php, if I was in Sublime, I would just press Command-P. I would say api.php, and it would open a new tab.
Mm-hmm.
In Sublime, I do that, and sometimes it opens in a new tab, and sometimes it opens in the same
In VS Code, you're saying?
In VS Code.
It sometimes opens in a new one, sometimes it opens in the same one? You're saying like you'll have two tabs of the same file open?
No. I'll have two tabs of different files open. But sometimes after I've done it, the tab of the first file will no longer exist and the tab of a new file will exist.
Oh, it's just because you haven't saved the first file, right?
I don't know.
You know when you have like something open and it's in the italics, like the title's in italics? I don't know if that's Code or Sublime or where I know this from, but you know, I mean, and there's like when you open the thing, like let's say you view a file. If you're just viewing the file and you haven't made any modifications to it, I think it's just kind of like...
it's treated as disposable and we can close this whenever.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wish they wouldn't, though. I wish they would keep it open unless I closed it.
Yeah. I don't know. I got bigger problems, man. Yeah, I don't even show the tabs.
Yeah, I like tabs. I like to know what's in each window.
How do you do tabs? I'm not on the high horse about not doing tabs, but whenever I have tabs, they just seem useless to me because it just gets so packed and it's just one more thing to like X out of a bunch of stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, and I end up doing that a lot throughout my day, but like I like to, it's some sort of a logical grouping between like the left pane and the right pane.
Mm-hmm.
Where like I'll say like, okay, like all these JavaScript files that are a part of this thing are in my left pane and all of my PHP files that are a part of that thing are in the right pane.
And you still command P to get to the different files.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's how I switch tabs, but it's like, for example, like if I don't remember the name of the file I'm going to go to, it's easy because in the tab bar right there.
Okay, gotcha. Right, it's a little bit of an anchor.
It's kind of like a list of what files I'm working on.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, sometimes
I never click them. I just like look at them.
My thought on that is like that's something that when I'm distracted, when my brain's not working fully, that's a problem for me. So I sort of treat it as like a smell. Like if I'm having that moment where you're just blanking on what to write in Command P, I'm like, okay, I think I need to focus because I'm just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it sort of removes your context enough that I don't know if it's just arbitrary, like unnecessarily more complicated or makes your life harder, or if it's actually like removes the crutch of context that now you're either like, you know, you're left to just be focused on what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, I feel like I have enough files in my current project that are named very, very similarly that it's worth it, you know?
Heard.
Like, it's like, oh, do I want deal filter bar or deal filter panel? You know?
Yep. Yeah. Let's talk, you're talking JavaScript names, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, JavaScript, overrated, underrated.
JavaScript names. JavaScript file names, overrated, underrated.
You mean like component names, like in viewer?
Yeah. I guess, yeah. It's a terrible overrated, underrated, but
well, it's like they have to talk about them. It. They have to have them, so it doesn't really matter.
Adequately rated.
Adequately rated.
But that's one of those things that I think. So with like blade files, I have an entity, and then I have the resource of it, like something dot index. I have a folder for the thing, so if it's like a CRUD thing, I have blank dot, you know, a folder for it, and then the index and the show and everything in it. Even if there's only one method for it, if there's a one-off thing like a leaderboard or something, that's something that I would put invoke in the controller instead of the restful methods, I'll just have that actually named and in like the root level of my blade. Anyway, I know how to name them. I know how to reference them. It's very nice. I know how to command P around them. It's great. But the view component thing is still, I haven't like really sat down and figured out how I name view components and how I organize them.
Why, you know, do it the same way?
Let's think about that. Okay. So I could. So the thing is with the component names, you have to have, it's like, there's no namespacing unless you're just putting it in the file name. You know, it's not like you can't name a component. All right. So let's say I have a component folder called, all right, what's the entity we're dealing with?
Let's say you have so you have a podcast app, because that's the good example now, right?
Yep.
Podcast app, you've got shows, and then every show has like a feed component, and that feed is full of episodes.
Okay.
Then there's like a player, and there's some other components. So you do with that what you want.
Okay. So the show list, we have, all right, I have a folder called, let's just stick with podcast for now. I don't know. Let's just stick with podcast because we might not need some components.
So
we might need it.
This is the episode list versus the episode single card.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the index versus the show.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so do you do episode hyphen index, or do you do episode hyphen list, and then episode? Here's what I actually, and I haven't thought about this too deeply, but the last view component I wrote was named account. It's in that the Fancy Finance Man app. It's like account. I did account list and account list item, because the component is kind of, I don't know, like when I'm writing a blade file, it's not an HTML tag. It's different to me, you know. It's like a page. It's a thing where when I'm writing the view component, it's like almost like an element. Like I want it to be like a UL and an LI, but named mm-hmm. like account UL or something LI. But I don't know. Tell me what you think. What would you name this episode list or episode item?
I think I would call them episode list and episode.
Right, like you can't do episode index and episode show because those mean something, you know, right? Like,
yeah,
they mean something else, and I probably would end up in a scenario where under episode show, maybe I have like episode modal or something, or like episode create modal. You know what I'm saying?
The word modal, yeah.
What?
I don't like the word modal.
Word modal, underrated and overrated.
Overrated word. You know why? Because here's why. Your modal always contains something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually the component is just the stuff that's in the modal, not the modal itself.
Mm-hmm.
So just call it what's in the modal. And then that way, if you ever need to use that stuff outside of a modal somewhere, you didn't name that component modal, right? Modal is just the distribution mechanism for the content that's in the modal. So why don't you just name it what it is?
So, all
right. Like if it's like a newsletter subscription modal, right?
Okay.
Just call it newsletter subscription form and then make a modal that has your newsletter. Make a modal component.
Inside the newsletter subscription form, there's a modal
component. No. Outside wrapping of. Wrapping it.
Okay. So
that takes an argument, right? Okay. And that argument should be which component all is right. the content
I
of
hear
the modal.
You. So don't. I think I'm picking up what you're putting down. Like you use the modal component with the slot or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean that's the Vue way to do
it. What are React slots? Is that just render props? Is like or
yeah, render props. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and like the way that looks on screen is just like modal opening modal tag and then newsletter sign up box and then closing modal tag.
Right. Same with Vue essentially.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Cool. That makes sense. Yeah. Make the modal. Don't. Okay. I'm with you. 100%. I'm going to do that. Yep.
Yeah. Stop naming components whatever modal.
Yep. It's officially a smell. Let it be known that you're doing it wrong if you put modal at the end of a component name.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Doing it wrong, TM.
Doing it wrong.
Okay. So component names. So what do we do? I mean, I'm always just naming them kind of, I don't know, I don't have an established pattern, and I don't group them by index and show and resource and things because they're also kind of tied to the UI. When you're looking at the data, like I view data in CRUD terms, you know, but I don't necessarily view UI in CRUD terms. So the list show, like that organization structure kind of breaks down for me on the front end, but I end up kind of almost mimicking those names anyway, and I come up with my own names and I have list or group or I don't know what are your thoughts on that? You feel me?
Yeah, no, I do a lot of list and list item.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything better to do.
Okay, shoot, is that it on it? That's just
what... Well, there might be something better to do, but like only in very specific situations, you know. Like if I were to give you a general rule, I would say there's nothing better to do as a general rule than list and list item.
Okay,
but like maybe in your specific podcast, like you could call that list. You know, a feed, and you could call the list item episode preview.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they've clicked it, it goes to episode player.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I'm down. And list item's not terrible. Before I did that, at some point in my Vue programming, I would do things that didn't have like a common prefix, you know? So I would name them more semantically and not, symmetrically, you know? So it would be like like list of accounts or sorry, list of episodes and then like episode box or episode item. Yeah, yeah, like stuff like that, like list of episodes and episode item or episode items and episode item or something dumb like that. But but yeah, so list and list item. That's good.
You know what I, this is something I've thought, I've done actually.
Okay.
What about in list instead of item?
Oh, okay.
Instead of episode item, just episode in list. So then you have episode list and episode in list.
I don't know if I like that because the symmetry of it is, it's confusing to look at.
Yeah.
And the difference is sandwiched between, you know.
What if it's episode within list?
That same for me, I think. Oh, yeah. I think episode list and episode list item has that symmetry of like, here's the base and then here's.
And it gets longer as it gets more specific.
Right. Which also, yeah, right. Yes. That's something. That's a thing.
Yep.
Inside. No, that's a thing. I'm going to make that a thing for myself. Things that are longer should be more specific. Okay. Another doing it wrong TM. If your names that are more general are longer than the names that are more specific, there's an issue. You're doing it
only
wrong.
With regard to nesting.
No.
Yeah.
In everything.
No, only with regard to nesting.
If you have a specific thing named Wampalapaluga, no, you're right. With respect to nesting.
You can't have,
if you have a general thing named Mississippi and then the specific. Yeah.
Right. Like if you have a component called favorite people, you cannot have a component named Chad under it. You have to call it favorite person Chad.
Yes. Yep. Favorite person Chad. Oh. Yeah, with regard to nesting, I dig. I like that. And the symmetry thing. I think those are my internal rules coming out of this conversation, is more specific in terms of nesting should mean longer. Stick with symmetry. Start with a base. Add on as you go. Don't semantically try to describe what everything is and end up in this hole of things that aren't, you know, named. Okay. Cool. So JavaScript, underrated, overrated?
JavaScript in general?
I think, no, not at all, but let's start there.
Okay. I think JavaScript in general is overrated because it's the only language we can write in the browser.
Interesting.
But I do like it.
Yeah, I think it's adequately rated, honestly. Like, I think I'm happy with its popularity on the back end and the front end.
ES6 is good. ES6 is really good.
It's good. And it's like, this is
so much better than JavaScript used to be.
It is.
Those fat arrows really make my life.
I was doing some basic CSS the other day and just having that moment where I was using, like, in one little component, I wrote the blog post on it, that SVG thing.
Uh-huh.
And to get to where I was, I had to write all this, like, raw JavaScript, or chose to, and I used like document.query selector, and then I used .class list toggle and add.
Mm-hmm.
And I used what other things did I use? I used other things and I'm blanking on them. Darn it. But I don't know. And I'm just remembering the day. Oh, I used like a 100 VH or something to get like a full height, and then like a flex box to, or flex to like justify center and align, you know, everything. And it was like,
all this modern web dev.
Yeah, for real. I mean, and it wasn't that long ago that it was way harder than that and sucked so
margin
bad.
Margin zero auto and like
it was
vertical
so
height,
sucky.
Or
so
vertical
bad.
Align middle, but you had to make sure that it was
and vertical
right
line
type of,
right, like, and that never
you
works
had to make sure
ever.
It was inline block.
Yep. Just
so that it was treated as text. Yeah.
So many things. Yeah. So. And now it's like so nice. It's just so nice. Everything's so nice. And if you have to actually use raw JavaScript to do stuff, it's not that bad.
Did you ever do that CSS hack where you used align justify to create columns?
I don't think so.
There was a really cool thing where, like, if you made your columns inline block, you could use align justify and they would space automatically.
Maybe, yeah.
That was really cool. Buffalo.
Yeah.
Is the agency Buffalo, New York or something. They wrote a blog post about it in like 2011 or 2012. And it blew my mind. And I started doing it everywhere. But it's so crazy that like that have was actually, before Flexbox, and so that we did weird, weird stuff to make columns.
I may have just done that on the Karani website, like on the pricing page a while back when I, after Steve's redesign. I think the pricing page is a table. And I think it was really hard to get, I don't know. I feel like I did something with that. I don't know. Could be wrong.
Science.
Yep. Okay.
What about you? JavaScript, overrated, underrated?
Adequately rated. Oh, adequately as rated. A whole. But
But that wasn't your real
question. That's not my question. Front end frameworks.
So, like component
front end frameworks and Laravel apps, underrated, overrated?
Underrated.
Underrated. Tell me more.
Yeah. I think Blade is bad.
Ooh, this is going to be saucy. Way overrated. Oh.
Word.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I don't think Blade's good. I think the only reason we use Blade is because it's hard to implement a front-end framework because of a few things that are still missing, but those things are going to be here any minute.
I cannot wait to talk to you about this right now.
Let's go.
Okay, so here's my big take. Here's my like big thing that I'm like think I'm just going to rep.
JavaScript's bad.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The bat, like basically use as little view as you can. Like just like reduce your front-end. Like, use everything you can possibly use in your back end, including Blade, and use as little Vue as you possibly can.
I also am on use as little Vue as you possibly can, but for different reasons.
As little front end component framework, React, Vue, Angular.
Definitely Angular.
Okay.
Use
as little React as you possibly can.
I don't like it.
All right, let's do it. Who starts? You want me to give you the pitch?
Yeah, give me the pitch.
All right. So I started, started on Laravel Blade before had any, you know, just like jQuery, didn't have any idea about any of this stuff. And I remember seeing some Laracast series on, there was like the React one, and this was before the Vue one came out. And it was like, I think it was just, there was a React series. And I remember being like, I'm hearing about this. I've seen some stuff, but I didn't even open the series. I didn't even want to watch it. I was like, I don't want to go there. Like, this isn't in my comfort zone, and I just am not comfortable with it. Then he came out with the Vue series, and I watched the first one, and I was like, this is it. Like, this is, I can fully wrap my head around this. I'm in. And
you found your place.
I found my place. And like probably everybody else who was doing the same thing at the same time, same experience. And that's why Vue is so huge in Laravel. So anyway, so I watched the full thing and it was great. And I was like, this is it. This is the future. I'm on top of this. The whole idea of like, data-driven, declarative, like state, you know, components and all that for driving. The data driving your front end was like, aha moment. It was great. Yep. And so I immediately started a project. It was like a new built greenfield for a company. And it was almost like their startup thing. And I built it from scratch. And it started... So this is when I like really implemented Vue. And so basically every Blade file just returned a root component, similar to how like React would do, right? Is that right? Like every Blade file just loads and returns a component.
Yep.
And then it's like a root component. And then inside of that, I'd make Ajax calls to load everything I need to load. And then that component houses all the subcomponents that do the adding and creating and deleting and behavior and forms and all that stuff.
Right, but you still had a bunch of Blade files.
I did have a bunch of Blade files, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Weird. So I was in this position where I was like feeling like very, very in the middle. And I remember actually pinging Jeffrey on one of his AMAs and was like, I feel like this Vue thing is pushing us into an SPA. And I sort of like, I feel the pressure to head into an SPA, but I'm still kind of half not. And I feel in this middle ground and it's so complex. And he was like, no, I'm fine with it. He's like, it's fine. It's fine with Blade. And I was like, wow, I didn't really understand at the time. Anyway, the more I've gotten into it, basically there was one point where I realized how I started to internalize all the issues after working in at least four decent sized production applications with real users, getting those roll bar errors that say calling blank on undefined or like can't access blank on null. And then like, you know, and then a user submits some things. You add all these like swall whoops messages in your catch statements from Axios, and they're getting these whoops messages and they're pinging you and you can't reproduce them, and you try to log in as them and you still can't reproduce it because you're dealing with all this state on the front end. And you like, you get a response back from a create and you want to like add it to a list, but you don't want to just push it as an array on top of the list in case the response is different. So you refresh the whole thing and there's a loading wheel. So every time the loading wheel shows and it like tears down the whole list, and then it just like blips a tiny loading wheel and then reloads the whole list. And mm-hmm. then you have all
something
these loading
becomes
states
null and everything breaks.
Yeah. Right. And then like you have a loading state, but you need a new state for just like the initial load, cause it's a different concept of loading. So you have like the ready state. And there's all these things that like flash on and off really quick because they exist or don't exist, and everything errors out all the time. And that was my experience.
So talk to me about state in Vue, because like, you know, I'm not super into Vue. So do components have, and I don't mean state, but I mean like status. Do components have status? Like, do components go through a life cycle in Vue?
Yeah.
What's the life cycle?
So there's more that I don't use. There's mm-hmm. some before and afters of these things, but there's created, which is like when the data and everything are all like settled. Mm-hmm. And then there's mounted, and that's after like it goes through its
gotcha.
Render prop.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
so
its
we
template.
Have something similar in React. It's yeah, the component then, will mount, component did mount.
Exactly. There's there's before. I think mounted is actually like considered an after mount, but I think there mm-hmm. is before mount and created and maybe before created, maybe not, I don't know. And then there's before destroyed and stuff like that. Yeah, there's lifecycle hooks.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, carry on with your story.
All right, so I'm almost finished. So we started out where I'm in Blade, everything's fine. Then I see this new Vue thing and I take it too far. And every app I'm writing is essentially like my backend is a microservice. That's my big pitch, and I'll get into that in a second. but when I experience all these problems, but I still love writing Vue. And so I write all this Vue, and things end up taking a really long time because I have to write like so much heavy front end stuff, and I already have tested and written all the back end endpoints, and so I have to implement them on the front end, and then I need to test them. And I could like unit component test, but sometimes like that's just as fallible as like back end unit tests. I need like end to end tests. So I mm-hmm. end up like writing Dusk tests, and now I have this really big Dusk suite that fails all the time and takes 10 minutes to run. And I don't have it in CI because I can't get it to be green all the time. And I can't get Selenium on the thing in CI and whatever. Like, this is just the story of, and I think a lot of people would identify with that. And so I've gotten better at that over time. Like, when I discovered promise.all, I leveled up. It's like, okay, now I'm like going to lay down the law. Like, nothing, I'll never have a thing that tries to access a thing that doesn't exist again, because I'm going to be like thorough. And I'm going to have sure. like, you know, so I think I got it to like a good point where I feel like I can write apps in that paradigm and I'm like responsible about it. Like they're pretty solid TM. But now I'm totally going on the other end, and here's the end of the story. So there's lots of knowledge that you end up duplicating in the front end, and I'd love to talk to you about this. It all started with the route names. It all started yep. with the route names. This and yep. see, we've had this conversation. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. It yep. all started with the route names. When I would use route names at the back end, it felt so solid TM, and the mm-hmm. front end, I would hard code these URLs, and it was one of those things that I didn't realize I hated about myself until I really like, I don't know, it just exposed itself to me, and I realized how bad it was. And then I saw that Jesse Shutt tutorial. I'm sure that's not how you say his name. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And he wrote that blog post where he's like, here are some ways. And he's like, I pass data. I echo stuff from Blade into props for Vue components and use them. And I was like, boom. And
so that's the best thing about Vue.
Right. And I want to talk about that.
It's the only thing that Vue does right. better than React. So we should, and it's only because I haven't made something to do that in
right
React.
I had visions of what this conversation might turn into, and I feel like it might turn into some React thing that you or I or we or you or mostly you build that like does this for React. Because so then I started passing things through as props, and now I've taken it on the total other end. I pass through like everything I possibly can, tons of logic, tons of flags, tons of things, lookup tables, everything from the back end, because it's already tested in my feature test. They run instantly. I do lots of location.href equals. I do a lot of that, like after I do a request and reload the whole freaking page. And I don't get index routes. I don't like load up everything once the component loads. I have it in Eloquent, pass through to Blade, loads up instantly. And my apps are 1,000 times more solid, TM.
Okay.
Okay.
Here is my problem. So there is a lot of logic that you have to do somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have JavaScript to do it in, you're either going to end up doing it inline in your Blade template, or you're going to end up creating architecture that is unnecessary to get it, to get the data you want to pass into your controller.
Okay. Yep.
And then you end up with these weird controller methods that I don't like. So this is my
because they pass too many extra things into the.
There's too many type because Blade is so like. It just wants you to give it the data it wants.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it'll like loop through it and display it and, you know, capitalize some things or whatever. But it's really, it's just template.
The only thing it can do besides looping is capitalizing.
No, but it's like, you know, we can do some string treatments. We can do some looping. No, we can do some nesting components and slots and stuff, you know?
Yep.
But like, it's a templating language and that's all it is. Right. And so you can't have like programming. Yeah. You, so you can put programming in your Blade templates, but it's a terrible idea and you shouldn't.
Okay. Yep.
And so you end up with these structures that exist for no other purpose than to like massage the data into the format that Blade wants so that you can loop over it.
Okay.
Right? And often, this is the thing that I think I don't like. That having that code on the back end feels bad. Like, it feels like that code should live between the controller and the template, not between the models and the controller. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
I do.
Like,
data massaging code, and, like, basically it's, like, fancy transformers or whatever, right?
Okay.
All of that stuff, like, I don't want to... Here's the thing, right? I don't want to have, like, a million different ways to return users, you know? Like, if I need to show like a user list, but then over here I need to show like a user list.
You want the canonical user endpoint.
Right. I just want a user endpoint that, you know, maybe allows includes, right?
Includes. Yeah.
But that's all, you know? Like, I want to be able to say like user with podcasts or whatever, you know? But that's it. Like, that's all I want my API to do.
And you're saying when you start to take that seriously without that sort of endpoint driven thing, you end up doing things like user repository to house, like, to make sure you're getting, you have one specific API to get a user from.
Yeah, user repository, or for example, you might end up with something like user podcasts subscribed to in the last week controller.
Okay.
Right? Or some, like, no, you end up with, or not even controller, but maybe you end up with, like, a weird transformer or so, you know, like, you end up with these weird structures that are bespoke, built for a specific template loop, right? There's a loop that needs some data. Like, that's the issue, I think, with Blade, is, like, you end up with a loop that demands specific data.
I'm not necessarily talking about, okay, we'll go with it because of how I framed this. Yeah. But you can still have your root view component and just pass the data into view as a prop, and then view does the v4ing.
Wait, I thought we were talking about not using view.
Right. Maybe I miss. I did this wrong. But
I'm arguing that you should use front end frameworks.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I think the reason I'm hesitating is because I think I believe that too. But what I know I believe strongly, and I'm advocating for, and maybe we should isolate this conversation to, is the idea of making like as few AJAX requests as possible, explicitly passing in everything you possibly can into the props from Blade, and then doing all your rendering. And when you do an action, like an AJAX request or something, instead of receiving input and handling that state, refresh the page or go to a different page.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Are you down with that?
I think it's a completely app-dependent decision. I don't think it's a general rule. It's more complicated to do it that way, right? It's always simpler to just, like, go get something from the API.
No. No.
No, yes.
No, no. No, it's way simpler to just pass it in.
Well, okay, assuming it will never change, it's way simpler to pass it in.
Okay. Well, let's assume it will change.
Okay. To me, assuming it will change, it's way easier to never manage all of that weird state of, like, the having, like, something called, like, initial, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Like, initial user podcasts, and then, like, waiting until later after we've done the API hit to, like, actually, you know, say that we trust these podcasts or something, you know?
See, well, that's the thing is, like, I know what you're talking about with the initial pattern, because sometimes you can get into the initial pattern, but when you go full on with the blade pattern, there is no initial, you know? Because it's like you pass the data directly in. So here's a good example. Like, let's say I have a component called beer list, and I'm listing a bunch of beers, right?
Okay.
And so I have a beer.index.blade file that loads one root component called beer list. Okay. And the initial thing, the old Caleb, this would be a component where you don't pass any props in. You load the thing in the mounted hook or whatever. It loads. It does an AJAX request to the end, to the beer index endpoint, the API controller, whatever. And I get the beers. I put it into the list. And then I set loading to false so that the loading spinner stops and it shows the list of things, right?
Sure.
And so in, let's say that a feature request comes in and says, I need you to add a counter of the amount of beers into the header of the page, into like the nav bar. And you go, okay. And let's just pretend that the nav bar is housed inside this component. And you go,
sure.
Okay, fine. And so you can't show that count until you've loaded all the beers. But the nav bar is not part of the loading wheel, you know? So it's like, it's there and you have to figure out what you're going to do while the data is not available. So you might say, well, I'll pass it through as a blade prop. I'll make a little initial beer count that you pass through and you give it until the beers are available from AJAX, and then you swap over to using the real live JavaScript beer count. Does that describe the problem you're talking about?
Sure. And like, let's assume for the sake of argument that we're using those beers other places on the page, not just in the nav bar.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Or do you not want to assume?
No, I think we can. I can't think, like, predict the implications.
Because right now we're getting into questions of, like, whether or not we need to use, like, Vuex or Redux or something.
Oh. Oh, okay. Maybe we'll have to talk about that, but yeah, we can assume that it's used in other places and stuff. Yeah. Right, on that page. So, anyway, the point is that you're in this middle space where that's a problem, where the initial thing is a problem, where you're passing through an initial state from Blade and you're just introducing more complexity. But if you scrap the whole idea of fetching the beers from AJAX ever and you pass through just beers into the component straight out of the gate, you don't have to do any AJAXing, the beers are ready and available on render to make your beer count and your list of beers.
Yes.
And then it's simpler, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
Did I miss something with the initial thing?
No, I don't think so. In that state, I think it's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's lots of situations where, like, I think there are very few situations where you're just, like, for example, like, displaying a small piece of data that's relevant to some resource that you have, and you happen to be putting it in a component that is on every single page, like a nav, right? And so then if you're talking about something that's like, oh, that's a nav, that's going to be on every single page, whether or not we load the beers or not from the API, whatever, right?
Right.
I think then you're talking about something that's a little bit different, right?
Because right, you're talking about
a specific situation where it's like, oh, this nav is a universal truth, right? Like, you definitely don't want to, like, load your you know, like the path to your website's logo from an API. You want to put that directly in your template.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. So I hear you. Let's go with that paradigm that you have, like, it's disconnected from this thing. It's on a bunch of pages, but it's not necessarily needing to be a navbar hard-coded thing. I think what you're getting at, is this right? That, like, you might have a component that's isolated and needs a source of truth. Like this beer count, you might have multiple places and you need a beer count endpoint for it. And that's better than, because otherwise, what do you pass through this beer count into every parent component that loads that component and have to pass it all the way through to it?
Right, exactly. Or do you, I mean, if you're using React or if you're using Redux or something, right, you just like, you have a beers thing and you count it.
Right, but you don't know if it's available yet. Right?
Right, that's true.
How do you handle
and I mean,
that
like,
with a...
Probably, like, honestly, if this was an actual real app I was writing, like, just thinking about the app I'm working with right now, like, probably what would end up happening is that we would use, you know, one of these, like, Redux local storage things, and so we would have the beers stored from the last time the page loaded, and so in the initial state, we would just show the count of the beers that existed last time you were on this page.
That is so dope.
Until we updated it.
Tell me about that. That's awesome.
It just takes your Redux store and puts it in local storage.
No way.
And then it refreshes it next time you load the page.
That's so great.
Isn't it? It's cool.
Wow. Does that introduce complexity or does that reduce complexity? Like, can you...
It both.
Okay.
Both, because like you mess up one thing, which I did on my first day on the project. You mess up one thing and you can't figure out why local storage is overwriting itself several times and causing everything to break and setting the, it's storing the initial state to local storage or something, you know, like everything gets bad if you are bad at it. But like, once you know how to do it, it's fine, you know?
Interesting. I'm thinking like the thing is, okay, one of the biggest buys, one of the biggest, the, I don't know, yields from the, from this approach of, you know, passing things in to view from like Blade, is that you get, you don't have to worry about this loaded state. Like you don't have to worry about things not being available because they're just, they start out available no matter what, you know?
Right.
And that makes things so much less complex and takes away all those ridiculous calling this on null issues and starting out with defaults that are empty
defaults.
Yeah, but remember
it's also
stuff,
like really domain specific, right? Because like what if, like say it's no longer a beer app where everything is real chill, right?
Yeah.
Say it's now like a finance app where like having the actual stock price in this bar is important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the stock price changes like by the second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say we load the last stock price from local storage and the last time you were on the site was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And the stock price is, you know, 20%
yeah,
higher
good,
now.
Right.
And we cause someone to like freak out and click the button because they're like, oh my gosh, the stock price is so low. And, you know, they spend $40,000 on stocks.
Right. In that paradigm, like, I think that's an extreme case. I think, can we say that? Mm-hmm. Because that's something that you would definitely need the Ajax route no matter what. Like, there's no other option, right? Like,
yeah,
you can't pass through the stock price from Blade and just
you
go with it.
You could pass through the initial stock price while you're waiting for the Ajax route.
Right, but I'm not interested in that paradigm, I think. I think I'm not, but that's interesting. Like, what would you rather have? Would you rather have an initial state loaded from Blade so you don't have to deal with loading wheels and ready and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, in that paradigm, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the thing is like in your,
I'm going to say the thing that Caleb Porzio hates more than anything. I think it very much depends.
That's not a trump card though. Not that you need a trump card, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it depends. Yeah, it depends, but no. I mean, it does, but yeah, I don't know.
I think it depends.
So when is it? Does it? It always depends, of course. And I'm trying to figure out, like, when does it depend? Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, it depends. So what decides if it depends? What are the things you depend on? What is the formula when you decide?
I think loading time tolerance, right? Plausible amount of data.
Mm-hmm.
I think the industry that these people are in and how chill that is, right?
So what's the benefit of doing the, of treating your backend like a microservice? What's the benefit of using the RESTful internal API endpoints, canonical user? I mean, there's the one we talked about.
All of your PHP is 1,000 times more maintainable, I think.
Okay.
Because you have way less like bespoke, silly PHP.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right. But me. I mean, you just, I don't know if that's a real one because you're just passing that off to the front.
Oh, right. Cause you're still talking about like passing things into Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like it, but you're going to make API calls at some point, right?
Yeah.
Like you're going to update this data before the page loads again, right?
Wait, what? Update before the page loads? I'm passing in the data like for the page to load.
You're passing in the data for the page to load. And yeah. Are you saying that this data will never change until the next time the page loads?
Right. So maybe not. Yeah, maybe not.
Okay, well then you have a very specific use case that is very different than most web
apps.
I
think that you can turn your app into an app that those things you pass in are generally immutable. If you choose certain paths. And my one like concrete smaller example is
like okay, every app has a search page, right? Let's talk about the search page. Okay. Tell me how this works on a search page.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, right. So you have a search box and it has a, you can type into it and you do. Mm-hmm. And when you hit enter,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the search one's interesting because if I was actually writing it, I don't know what I would do. But let's just say that you just do it straight up backend. You hit enter on the input and mm-hmm. you Ajax that input. You know what? Just straight up HTML search form and it passes. Straight up,
yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying that that search pages were impossible before JavaScript. I'm just saying there are like innumerable reasons that it's worse, right?
That what's worse?
That search pages are worse without JavaScript.
Right. And
without Ajax specifically.
Okay. And you're saying for things like auto complete or preview and stuff like that? Or
auto complete and preview are just one of many things, but also like if I'm on a search page, it's going to be paginated, right?
Yep.
So when I search for something, right, like I'm going to get page one of the results, I'm going to get to the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and then only when I click page two mm-hmm. am I now going to go run the very heavy MySQL query that gets me all the results for page two. So then I'm going to sit around waiting for page two,
mm-hmm.
right, instead of like preloading page two. You know, or whatever. Like, there's so many ways that you can make this better with JavaScript.
Right. Okay. So, There is a huge trade-off.
All of these
Here's
other,
a big
you know.
Trade-off. The interface trade-off. The more you can sacrifice a sleek interface, and not necessarily in terms of, like, intuitive UI and design.
Fast. You're talking about fast interface.
Fast and responsive. Yeah.
Right.
If you can sacrifice that.
You shouldn't.
There is a huge cost to that. That's maybe what I'm arguing is that like that you always default to that because you have access to Vue and you see the power and you go, I can make this beautiful thing and I can preload and do that pagination and it's just super quick and
but
everything
you don't
and
have
preview
to do
and all
any
of
that to start, right? But when you write your entire app as like this non Ajax crazy land,
yeah,
right, where you refuse to have an API,
okay.
Right, like the app you're talking about does not have an API.
No, it does. It does. There's certain characteristics, at least in my mind right now. There's you're not loading stuff on initial page load. You're not dealing with Ajax responses as much. It's a lot of the CRUD thing. It's when you're doing CRUD on the front end. In your paradigm, what you're talking about with the search results, that makes sense, and that I don't think would be that hairy. Mm-hmm. Because it's so one way. It's like you put in the search, you get the search results, you overwrite the current search results, and then you got all your JavaScript and it's fine. And it's simple. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing CRUD and you're updating and deleting and editing and changing state over Ajax and maintaining your current JavaScript state in your components, you end up with all this complexity. that if you just hit the endpoint to say update with this data and then refresh the page and then get it all passed in from Blade, it's like solid and quick, and you don't have to, and your endpoints are already tested, and so you don't have to worry about all that stuff, you know? I don't know. My point is that using the Blade, okay. And we didn't get into Turbolinks and some of those, like,
yeah, that paradigms. Stuff's all cool. No, I'm cool with all of that. That's fine. But, like, to me, I'm not really sure at this point what you're arguing for anymore.
Maybe what I'm saying, okay, I'm arguing because against...
you went from talking about, like, using Blade to then talking about, no, I don't actually want to use Blade, I just want to, like, pass data into view components
right.
from Blade.
That was a shift, and I completely see that retro somethingly, that we should return to the Blade conversation either now or at a later time.
Because now you're talking about Turbolinks again, and now we're back to using Blade.
Agreed. All right, so there's a couple things we're talking about. We're talking about the Blade thing, and we're also talking about the passing Blade props through, right?
Yeah, so we're talking about, like, should you use Blade? And then if you're not using Blade, should you use Ajax? Those are the two different questions.
Yeah, should you use Blade? And if you're not using Blade, should you use Ajax? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess what I'm advocating for is getting away from that idea of a wall and purity and, like, a RESTful API for all your entities and your view components. Just deal with that stuff, you know, and implement that stuff. I'm advocating for a way where the backend and the front end are married. Blade knows a lot about the things your view components need and passes them directly in unload, and you often can just reload a page or go to a different page instead of dealing with the results of an Ajax request and then updating mm-hmm. everything. That's what I'm advocating for. That I think mm-hmm. if you don't have somebody saying that or telling you that that's, like, a much more maintainable way of doing things, you end up in a heaping pile of complexity and all these little state issue error things that you run into and dust tests, and it's just hard to manage, you know? It's costly. That's my big point. You down?
I'm kind of down. But, okay. Like, I'm also kind of thinking, I don't know. It's just, like, you keep saying, like, that this works better in the real world, right? In real worlds with real users and blah, 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 blah. But, like, real worlds with real users are exactly the place where people decide on a whim that they want to make an iOS app or something, you know? Okay.
Yeah, right. What are you saying I was saying?
Well, any of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, either of the two things that you've described as possibilities now make making an iOS app a huge pain.
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying. You're right? saying doing it this way, you're pigeonholing yourself into...
You have... This app is the... This whatever weird front end you've invented is now the only interface to your back end ever. Right.
Yep.
Right? So yes. That's cool if you can get, you know, super strong buy-in at the front end for that, you know?
Yep.
But also, like, the thing that I think, like, really bothers me about it is that, like, it seems like such a strong position to take when all you really gain is that you don't have to think about how to deal with Ajax responses, which to me feels like a solved problem, and it just lives in one file and it's called, you know, client.js or, like, resources.js or whatever.
No. So all the cost of microservices that I'm always ranting about, all the cost. So what is the benefit of a microservice? Independent scalability, and then some other, like, more, I don't know, nebulous things like keeping repositories separately and security and isolated developed talent and different languages and stuff like that, right?
Right.
But independent scalability and different technologies are, like, the big wins of microservice. Outside of that, it's cost. It's straight up just costs out the wazoo. And I've lived with them and I've, like, you know, just internalized them so deeply. Now I realize you turn your back end into a microservice.
I don't accept your premise that using Ajax to communicate between the front end and the back end is a microservice
architecture.
All right,
let's challenge me on it. Let's do it. You're turning your back. You're turning, you now have two systems. Instead of making direct calls to methods and functionality, you're making remote calls.
But you don't, there's not another. this is the thing. The thing that separates microservices from like monolithic architecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like you have chosen to decentralize your data.
You're right? saying in the microservice architecture.
Right.
Yeah.
Your data is now decentralized, right? And you have to call out to a bunch of different places to get your data.
Right. Yep.
Having a single API with API endpoints is not the same thing.
Because you're saying that is the central place to get your data?
Right, and it's your API. Right.
So your backend, you have all this function. It's your API,
and you make rules, like you say that I only use these types of CRUD endpoints, and this is the way that I return data, and there's rules, and all my data is going to be uniform all the time.
Good point. There are certain ways that this is a different beast. And so therefore,
I just write a client.js that complies with my own rules.
Right.
And everything's fine.
In that regard, in terms of trusting the endpoints, it's a big win in this paradigm. It's not like the microservice paradigm where you have to not trust things and you have to have all these, you know, right? But you still have to test interactions between the two of them. You still, there's this layer of unreliability, I'll say, because you're actually hitting a network. There's slowness. It's slow. There's the multiple technology problem where you're dealing with two different languages that work in two different ways, and you have to deal with the data transfer from those two.
And like, is null or not? Yeah.
And you run into like all these knowledge things on the front end if you work in this way where unless you make an endpoint for every single decision, you end up putting things into the front end. Like not necessarily doing straight up front end validation, but that's a good example. Let's just... you could totally do validation strictly on the back end, and that's fine. But you end up doing front end type things, and that logic, there are times when the logic has to be in the front end and the back end. You end up doing the same thing twice.
Okay. I think for every time that you end up doing the same thing twice, you save twice as many lines of code doing bespoke things on the back end, though.
No, see, that's the thing. I think it's simpler on the back end. And it's tested more.
Okay, but I don't... this is the thing. It's like, this is code that should live between the controller and the template. Like, that's where it logically should live.
Right, and that... maybe we should open up that box, the blade.
But we're over an hour, so we can't open up that box.
This is the worst. Good, though. This is really good. Because I'm like hot on this, and I could really use some challenging, you know.
Yeah, well, and I'm also, I just learned that I am going to be entering your microservice project.
Yes.
So maybe what's going to happen is that I'm going to be all hot on like, you're dumb and I'm right now. And then we'll see in like a month or two if I think that I'm still right.
Yep. We will see. Yeah, once I've entered microservice. Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, can you hear my dog snoring?
No.
Cool, because she's been snoring for this whole episode, and I just realized I just kind of drowned it out because it happens all the time. So this episode might have a lot of snoring dog in it.
It's all right.
She's very cute.
That makes it all worth it. Oh, Daniel. Oh,
man.
We didn't officially stop the episode yet, right?
Like, nope, it's still going. Okay. This is it.
yeah, so really good talk. Uh-huh. Really good talk. I think there's always this thing at the end of the day where no matter what, this thing has to live somewhere, and there's a degree of like not recognizing that. But I am also
I think what we didn't do?
What did we not do?
We did not define what this thing is well enough, and that's why we don't know where it should live.
Okay.
So, here's what I know. I'm going to see you in Texas very soon.
Heard.
We should know what this thing is so that we can talk about where it should live.
We should know, like, we should, are you saying we should come up with, like, an argument, like a concrete argument?
I'm saying hustle your evidence, Caleb.
Yeah, yeah.
Hustle your evidence.
Yep, straight up.
Figure out what you're talking about.
Yep.
Come at me.
Yes.
I'll be preparing counter arguments.
Yes.
We'll talk.
I will hustle my evidence.
Hustle your evidence, sir.
Yes.
All right. This is good.
Ah, so good.
This is good. See, this is why we do a podcast.
Seriously.
We get into these ones.
This is good.
Everyone should do a podcast.
Everyone should do a podcast.
I'm not going to listen to all of them, though.
Nope.
I'm going to listen to a few.
Yep. Yep. Totally.
Make yours the best. All right. I will see you later.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
And a big shout out to Jared White for providing this music.